80 is Perek Hey, Mishnah Vav. Now that we're finished with all the Chumras and Kulas of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, we now return to the major subject of Edius, where there were different Tanoim who were being made, who were testifying about what the Psak Halacha was in many different kinds of cases. This massive Mishnah is a Mishnah quoted from Akavya ben Mahalalel, who paskined on four matters where he had heard from his Rabbeim, and he believed that this was the majority ruling, that this was the halacha. However, the Chachamim of Akavya's generation told him that he was a yachid going against them, the majority, and that he should retract his positions. Akavya ben Mahalalel heyed arbo dvarim. Akavya ben Mahalalel testified to four different matters, and Amru lo, the Chachamim of his generation, said to him, Akavya chazor bach ba'arbo dvarim she heyisa omer. Retract your opinion on these four matters that you had to say, because you're going against the view of the majority. And if you do, v'nascha av bezdin liYisrael, we will make you the av bezdin, the head of the court of Klal Yisrael, as the Rosh Sanhedrin. And Lemaisa, if he had done that, he would have been the second highest ranking person regarding the Sanhedrin after the Nasi himself. So that would have been a very big deal. Amar Lahan, so Akavi answered them back, Mutav li lihikari shote kol yomai. Better that people should call me a fool all of my days for giving up the chance to be the Rosh Sanhedrin. Rather, velo laso shah achas rosh alufnei hamakom. Rather than for me to be evil even for a single moment, a single hour before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because Shelo yiyu omrim, they should not say b'shvil sharara chazarbo, that the reason that he retracted his position had nothing to do with whether his position was correct or not. It had to do with retracting so that he would get the higher office, the position of Rosh Sanhedrin. So it would be a chil Hashem if he retracted. First of all, he would be an evil man because he would retract from in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu what he had heard from his teachers, who he believed were the majority. But second of all, even if he would have retracted because he felt it was the right thing to do, if he retracted for the sake of becoming the head of the Sanhedrin, then that would make him an evil man before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because people would be going around saying he retracted his position just to get ahead politically, and that would be a terrible thing. What were the things that he said? So first of all, hu hayimatame sa'ar hapikuda vidam hayorok. Akavya ben Mahalalel declared tamei the leftover hair, the sa'ar hapikuda. The leftover hair is a situation where somebody has leprosy, somebody has tzara'as, and it's a bright spot, as they called it. And so he has a baharas. And if there was a white hair in the Baharis, which is a sign of Tumah, and then the Baharis is cured and it disappears, but the white hair is left in its place, and then the Baharis comes back. So what happens is the hair itself is a leftover. First there was an area of Tzaras around it, then the Tzaras went away but the white hair stuck around, and then the Tzaras came back. This is called the leftover hair. It's as if the Baharis, the bright spot, left the white hair over until it came back, like it left it to hold its place. And so, in such a situation, Akavya ben Mahalalel said that the person is tamei. Now, the problem is, the Chachamim hold otherwise. They say since the hair was white before the Baharis appeared, then it's not a sign of Tumah. The white is not going to be a sign of Tumah unless the Baharis turns the hair white, which is an actual pasuk in Vayikra. But Akavya ben Mahalalel holds that this leftover hair, he remains tamei all the way through. And that goes against the Chachamim. The other thing that he said that was tamei was the dam hayoro, greenish blood. So this is a Mishnah in Masechta Nida. A woman sees some kind of discharge that is greenish or yellowish. The color of an esrog is how it's described. And Akavya ben Mahalalel rules that this is dam nida. The color has changed, but she's a nida. But the Chachamim, both of these cases, metaharin. The Chachamim say the leftover hair doesn't make you tamei because the white hair had nothing to do with the baharas. It was white before the baharas reappeared. And yellow dam does not make somebody tamei, because dam is not yellow. So it can't be. It's some other discharge of some other effluvia, but it is not a sign of tumas nida. So Akavya ben Mahalalel went against the Chachamim. Number three, so we already did two, the leftover hair and the dam hayorok. The third case was hu hayamatir sa'ar b'chor ba'al mum. Akavi ben Mahalalel permitted the hair of a bechor animal that had a blemish, that had a mum, shenoshar, that it had fallen out, v'hinicho b'chalon, and had been put in a window, and v'achakach shchoto. And after that, the bechor was shechted. This is the Mishnah in Bechoros. When it comes to a bechor, the bechor is automatically consecrated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't work with them, you can't shear them, and it's a mitzvah to give the bechor, whether it has a mum or not, to the kohen. If it has no mum, then it's offered on the Mizbeach, and the Kohanim eat the meat. If it has a mum, it can't be offered as a carbon. And so the Kohen shechts the animal any place he wants to and treats it as chulin. But nevertheless, it's a mitzvah to give it to the Kohen anyway. And he could also sell the animal, use the hide, use the wool after the animal dies, because the animal belongs to him. But as long as it's alive, even though it has a mum, you're not allowed to shear the hair or wool off it. Because the mitzvah of eating the besar habachar applies to the first year. So if a kohen is allowed to shear a bechor that has a mum, he might keep the animal for fleece, he might not shecht it within the first year, and that's going to be a transgression of what one is supposed to do with a bechor. Now, if a kohen sheared this bechor while it was still alive, he can't get hanah from the wool, and this applies to any hair as well. According to Akavi ben Mahalalel, just as shechting the animal, once the time comes, makes the animal and its wool available to use, that also includes any hair that fell out earlier, and they put it over by the window because a person didn't shear it, the hair just fell out. So while the animal's alive, you can't use it. But once you shecht it, and everything else about the animal is mutter, this hair that you left on the windowsill is also mutter, once you shechted it. However, b'chachamim, the chachamim osrim, the chachamim say no. Even hair that fell out by itself, we're afraid that the kohen might then not shecht the animal within the proper year. Maybe he's going to wait for all the hair to fall out. He figures the animal's going bald, so he'll sweep it all up, and he'll just wait around for hair to fall out. So Akavi holds we don't make such a gzera. But the Chachamim say eventually this might lead to him shearing the animal. So this is a very far-fetched case, hair that falls out of a bechor that has a mum. But nevertheless, the Chachamim hold that it's aser, and Akavi ben Mahalalel holds that it's mutter. And they said, why don't you go with the majority? And he said, I'm going with what my teachers told me. And finally, the fourth thing that Akavi ben Mahalalel said, Hu haya omer, in mashkin lois hagiyores v'los hashivcha hamishuchreres. You can't give to drink the mehamorim, the bitter waters of the sota, to a female giores, a convert, or to a shivcha knainis, a female slave who was not Jewish, who was freed. The laws of sota do not apply to a female convert or a shivcha meshuchreres. So, if the husband is jealous, and she secluded herself with another man after being warned, as all the Mishnais and Sota tell, she doesn't drink the mehamorim. And he learns this from the fact that the Torah says, Daber al b'nei Yisrael, and b'nei Yisrael, but not gerim. So the idea here is that they are not called mitoch abcha, so they don't get to drink. But the Chachamim say, Chachamim or Mashkin, the Chachamim say she is given to drink. Whether she's a convert, a freed slave, whatever it might be, the laws of Sota apply to her just like any other Jewish woman. So then they said to him, V'chamim amrulo, Maise becharke mit shivcha mishachreres. There was a story of a special woman named Karkemit. That was her name, or maybe she came from a place called Karkem. But anyway, she was a freed female slave, Shehaisa b'Yerushalayim, lived in Yerushalayim, and she was suspected of being a sota. V'hishkua Shamayav Avtalion, and the great Shamayav Avtalion gave her to drink, the mesota. So they say, whatever the other cases are, at least this one we have proof, we have anecdotal evidence that Tanoim gave her to drink the Mesota, Amr Lahem. So he said back to them, Akavya said to the Chachamim, Dugma Hishkuha. Really, she didn't have to drink. But they gave her to drink as an example. Shammai and Atalion were both Gerim themselves, and they gave her to drink the Me'amarim to show that Gerim are just as important as people who are FFB, who are born Jews. But Lamaisa, the Halacha didn't require that she be given to drink. According to Shammai of Avtalion, it was kind of for an example. As soon as he said that, viniduhu, they put him in cherem. The Chachamim said to Akavi ben Mahalalel, you're going to insult Shammai of Avtalion. You're going to say that they would not act accordance with Halacha just to make some kind of example out of this woman? Well, then what would happen if the Me'amarim didn't work? People would go around saying that the whole Sota program doesn't operate properly. They would say that the entire ritual is pointless. So they would never do such a thing. And Lamaisa Umeis bin Yiduyav, he died while he was still in Cherem, Akavi ben Mahalalel. And not only that, but Saklu Bezdin Esarono. The Bezdin then stoned his coffin after he was dead. And we'll see what that means in a moment. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, so Rabbi Yehuda said later, Chas v'shalom she'akavya nisnada. Chas v'shalom that Akavya ben Mahalalel would ever have been put into Cherem and then died that way, and that all of this would be true. Why not? She'ina zara nin eles b'fnei kol adam Yisrael. When they locked the courtyard, the azara of the Beis HaMikdash, before any man of Klal Yisrael on Erev Pesach, when it was filled with people, Erev Pesach, everybody came to bring the Korban Pesach, and there were such huge crowds that there were three shifts, and they had this huge number of people, and when they locked the doors behind all these people inside the Azara, there was no man from Klal Yisrael that was as great b'chachma uviyiras chet, in wisdom and in fear of sin, as Ka'akavya ben Mahalalel. So this is the equivalent of saying that, you know, at MetLife Stadium, that huge crowd that's there, nobody in that entire crowd was greater, lahavdil, than Akavya ben Mahalalel. That's minidu. So then, who did they put into Cherem that this Maisa happened? So the answer, it was Eliezer ben Chanoch. It wasn't Akav ben Mahalalel at all. It was a different sage, Eliezer ben Chanoch, who had a question. Shepik peik b'taros yadayim. He questioned the ruling by the Chachamim that the hands need to be washed because they might be tamei while the rest of the body is tahar. And this Eliezer ben Chanoch said, how is it possible that the hands should be tamei and the body should be tahar? The whole thing must be tamei. So when he died, Eliezer ben Chanoch, then Sholchu Bezdin sent, and Vihinichu Evan al Arono, they put a giant rock on his coffin. That's what they call stoning the coffin, as a sign that he had been put into Cherem. Melamed Shekol HaMisnadeh Umeis Viniduyo, anybody who was put in Cherem and dies while he's still excommunicated, Soklin Es Arono, they stone his coffin by putting a large rock on top of it as a sign that this person had been excommunicated before he died. Now, continuing with today's very long set of Mishnayos, because that was an enormous one, this one kind of wraps up the story of Akavya ben Mahalalel, Mishnah Zayin. B'shas misasa Amar Livno, at the time that Akavya ben Mahalalel was about to die, at the hour of his death, Amar Livno, he said to his son, B'ni chazor boch be'arba advarim shal yisi omer. My son, I want you to retract from the four matters which I used to say in the previous Mishnah against the Chachamim. Accept the words of the Chachamim and don't paskin like me. Amar lo v'lo melo chazar tabach. So his son said to him, baffled, why didn't you retract? If you think that the proper thing to do is to pull back, then why didn't you? So Amar lo, so Akavya said to his son, ani shamat mi pi hamerubin, because I heard these laws when I was learning them from the majority. Because, and this is the explanation for the other Mishnah, why he was so stubborn with his halachos. He says, when I learned them from my Rebbeim, they were in the majority. V'heim shamu mipi hamerubim. But the Chachamim who opposed me said they heard it according to their version, was the view of the majority. So ani amadati b'shmuasi v'heim amdu b'shmuasan. I stood by what I heard, and they stood by what they heard. Because all of us agreed that we had heard properly from the rove, from the majority. Avalata shamati mipi hayochid. Umipi Hamarubin. But in your case, you never heard it from my teachers. You only heard it from me. So you heard it from me, the individual, and you heard the opposing point of view from the Chachamim, who are the majority who disagree with me. And I may tell you that I heard it from a rove, but that's not good enough. You heard it only from me. Mutav laniach divrei yachid v'lechos divrei hamarubin. Therefore, when you are dealing with halacha, you should put aside, it would be better to put aside the words of the individual, that is myself, says Akavya, and instead adopt the words of the majority of the Chachamim as you heard it. Amar lo abba, paket olai l'chavei recha. So the son asked him as a perhaps a final request, father, he said, would you compliment me? Would you speak well of me to your friends? So your friends are going to maybe come in to see you, and I'd like you to command them to bring me close to them and to bring me into their chevra. I'm the son of somebody maybe who was in chayr, maybe not. But either way, it would be good if you put in a good word for me. Amar lo eini mefaked. So his father said, I'm not doing anything. That's it. I'm not putting in a good word for you. I'm not going to tell my friends one way or the other about you. Amar lo shemo ilo matzalsabi. So he said, did you find a fault in me? Is there something I'm guilty? Some have a girsa, did you find a sin in me that makes you not want to compliment me and give the good word for me to your chaverim? So he said, Amar Lolab, he said, no, Chas V'Shalom, I never found any fault, any sin in you. But Ma'asecha Yikarvucha U'Ma'asecha Yirachakucha. When it comes to you being brought into the Chevra of great men, your own actions, your own deeds will either bring you near, because you do mitzvahs and you're a wonderful malamet, you do incredible things, you're a masmid, but your own deeds could also remove you far away from them, because they will judge you based on what you do, not based on what I tell them to do about you.